In this morning's message, Pastor Steve will start a new sermon series entitled, Yes and Amen, Echoing God's Promises. Listen in.
Yes and Amen, Echoing the Promises of God. And for this pilot message, kind of like you have a pilot for a new series on TV, the pilot message is based upon 2 Corinthians number 1, chapter 1, and verse 20. So if you would turn there, either in your Bible, or it's not good to share a Bible with anybody today, so you may want to use a pew Bible, or else you could use your telephone if that's what you use. However you may want to access it. It's a brief verse, but it's a very important verse, and it is extremely important to this new series. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse number 20. St. Paul writes, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Say that with me. Yes in Christ. "And so through him the amen," say amen with me, "the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." And we all say amen to God's holy word. So this message and this series is entitled Yes and Amen, Echoing the Promises of God. McDonald's and Burger King are the two largest hamburger outlets or restaurants in the world. They share certain similarities, and they share, of course, some very definite differences. The two chains, for example, began almost simultaneously, McDonald's in 1955 and Burger King in 1954, respectively. And McDonald's is the home of the Big Mac, right? And Burger King is the home of the... Okay, how many of you like McDonald's best? How many of you like Burger King best? Oh, we got some Burger King people here today. So, McDonald's franchises are seemingly limitless. There are 36,000 units in 120 countries worldwide. They employ 1.9 million people, and they serve 70 million meals a day. Burger King has almost 19,000 units. That's a lot, but nowhere near to McDonald's, and they serve 11 million people a day. And interestingly, where you find a McDonald's, have you noticed you almost always find a Burger King not terribly far away? Now, if it were most of us in marketing, we would say we want to get as far away from McDonald's as we can. Those people are whipping us. But the fact of the matter is that this co-marketing is intentional on the part of both, especially on the part of Burger King. If you have ever watched a National Geographic special and you have seen lions take down, let's say, a gazelle on the Serengeti Plain, what happens? You learn the meaning of lion's share. The lions aren't into sharing with the hyenas that soon gather around. But what happens is if you are a hyena and you are patient long enough, the lions will be full and there will be food left for you and you get the scraps. So that's kind of the mindset between McDonald's and Burger King. McDonald's gets the lion's share. Burger King gets the scraps, but it's enough to really, really make some big money. Ironically, however, at this point in time, McDonald's has done so well in opening restaurants that if you go to their boardroom, you would find they no longer consider themselves to be a food industry, but they are actually in the real estate industry. Their holdings in real estate are far more valuable than the meals that they serve every day. However, Burger King is still in the restaurant industry. So when McDonald's goes to open up a new facility somewhere in the world, they send their research and development team out to really scout where they should place the new McDonald's. It's not just arbitrary. They don't just close their eyes and like pin the tail on the donkey, hit a map somewhere. They really study traffic flow and all these kinds of things. However, Burger King says, hey, they do such a great job finding places. Let's just wait till they build a restaurant, and then let's buy property as close to them and build our restaurant. And so they save a ton of money every year by having a research and development department that essentially says, where's McDonald's building? Let's join them. And so really what happens here is that Burger King echoes or mimics or mirrors McDonald's. It could be said, looking at our text, that McDonald's says yes and Burger King says amen. Do you see the analogy? Yes and amen. McDonald's does the heavy lifting and Burger King says, hey, sounds good to me. Let's just buy a piece of property and build next to them because they've done all of the work. Now, what does this have to do with our text today? And what does it have to do with our series? Well, this is about the promises of God, right? The promises of God are yes and amen. So, I haven't gone through the Bible and tried to count every verse, but others have. And there's a great discrepancy in what they found. The least number of promises in the Bible that have been found are 3,000, and the most are 8,800. Let's just take it somewhere in the middle. Let's just say 5,000. Would you not agree with me that 5,000 promises for a human being would be very hard to keep? And yet, we make these promises all the time, especially in the season we're in right now, as people promise us things we know from the past they can't possibly deliver on. It's significant, I believe, that we are starting this series in the prime time of the election, when everybody is saying, we're going to do this and we're going to do that if you'll give me my vote. They know and we know they can't possibly keep their word. However, if Almighty God gives us an assurance, would you not agree with me that you can go to the bank on that one? Has God ever bounced a spiritual check on you yet? Did we not just get through saying we've always found him to be faithful? Can we say amen to that? So the Almighty God gives us an assurance, and we are certain about it because he always keeps his word. Now, some of the promises of God are conditional. We have a conditional promise outside our door here. If you look on the wall, the verse is, if my people, anytime you start out a verse with if, it's conditional. If my people, and you can fill in the rest, and it says, then will I hear from heaven. So a conditional promise is when God says, if, then. If you will do this, I will do that. On the other hand, most of the verses of the Bible are what we call unconditional. That is that God says, I am God, you aren't, I can't rely upon you, but you can rely upon me. I will always keep my word. For example, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. It does not have an asterisk that says, unless you go into a bar and then I'm getting out and let you go in, and when you come out and you made a fool of yourself, then I'll get back in you. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit may be grieved by our actions, but the Holy Spirit says, I will not leave you comfortless. So, what is the context of today's passage? Well, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians is writing to a church he established, and he is saying to them, I'm going to come by and visit with you. But it's not going to be at the time I told you previously. I told you previously it was on my way to Macedonia that I would visit, but now I've changed, circumstances have changed, and I'm going to visit you on the return journey. But he says, I understand that some of you in Corinth are making fun of me and are saying, Paul says yes and no. He's like a politician. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. But how many of us know Paul was only human? Sometimes he would say, I intend to do this, and then a blizzard would come. Or he would get thrown in jail somewhere. And as much as he wanted to do it, he could not keep his word. But on the heels of that, what he is saying is, however, even though I don't always keep my word as much as I may try, it is not for lack of integrity, it's for lack of power. But I serve a God who has both integrity and power, and God always keeps his word. That's what Paul is saying. God is not a man that he should lie, it says over in the book of Numbers. It is God's job to say yes, and it is our job to say amen. I want us to get this in this pilot message today, because we're going to look at a lot of promises in the next few weeks. It is God's job to say yes, it is our job to say amen. However, it doesn't work the other way around. If you and I say amen to something that God has not yes, that doesn't mean we're going to get it. There's a lot of teaching out there that says, just blab it and grab it. You know, just go ahead and quote something out of context and tell God about it, and he's going to bless it. Go ahead and marry that unsaved person, and your life will be charming because you said amen, even though God didn't say yes. How many of us know that doesn't work? As they say in the South, that dog won't hunt. And so we need to understand that our promises are always conditional upon God's promises. In fact, the book of James warns us, does it not, to declare anything with the words "God willing" attached to it. Would you not agree? My mother, my grandmother, they were big on this. Anytime they would say, we're going to do this or that, they would say, "God willing." Because they knew through the experience of life that things come up. Flat tires happen. Difficulties arise. Our promises should always end with "God willing" or "to the best of my ability." Now, I'm not speaking politically here, but come January the 20th, somebody's going to stand, put their hand on a Bible on the Capitol steps and raise their hand, and here's what they're going to say. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will to the best of my ability. Do you see them hedging a little there? You know why? Because you can be president and say, yeah, I'll be at that rally next week, and then you get COVID. And I am not mocking that. We need to pray for our president. I'm just saying that if there's an illustration that's coming out of Washington right now, it is how you can walk in the halls of power, but really you're powerless. You can be a Supreme Court justice and you will still die. The Bible gives us a promise. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And you can do any rebuking you want to do, but judgment day is coming because of the fact that God has given us promise. He's given us another promise. He said that if we stand before him on judgment day and we pray the prayer that we saw up here and we really have been following God, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by God's grace, we will be all right because Almighty God said yes, and we said amen to that. Old age is defined as when your mind promises your body, makes promises your body has no intention of keeping. Have you felt that, some of us, as we get a little bit older? Oh, yeah, I can get out there and run a mile. No problem at all. You get out there and you fall of a heart attack. Going back to the story I begin with, here's what we are. We are Burger King. I know you may not like it, but we had a lot of fans of Burger King raise their hands, so it's good. I'm in the right place. The fact of the matter is that we are Burger King. We are Burger King, and God is McDonald's. The smartest thing we can do is to find out what God is doing and say amen to that and join him in it. Maybe you recall years ago, Michael Jordan in his prime scored 69 points in one night against the Cavaliers. Unheard of. Incredible. Incredible. And Stacey King, his teammate, came out and at the news conference, he had the audacity to stand up and say, "This is a night I will never forget. Between Michael and I, we scored 70 points tonight." And the fact is that Stacey King scored 1 point and Michael 69, but it made it sound like he was a big hot shot. How many of us know that we, if we're lucky, score 1 point to God 69? God says, yes, we say amen. I love that old Southern Shake and Bake commercial. I often refer to it, and most people don't know what I'm talking about. But years ago, there was a product called Shake and Bake. I don't even think it's in existence anymore. And you'd take a piece of chicken and you'd shove it in this batter and you would shake it around, and actually it tasted pretty good. And when they advertised it, they had a Southern mom and a Southern daughter, and the Southern mom said, you know, extolling the virtues of Shake and Bake, "Oh, this is so good, isn't it, honey? Oh, yeah, we get to bond while we do this." And the little girl said, "And Mama, I helped." And the little girl did nothing but stand there. But she says, "I helped." How many are the times we do that with God? God, I helped you with your promise. All you did was believe it. You didn't make it happen. We don't heal ourselves. We don't save ourselves. We don't bless ourselves. God does it. All we do is say, amen. Paul may not make it to Corinth, but I want to tell you something. Jesus always makes it to port. Paul may say, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there for the anniversary. But he doesn't come. He's a good, well-meaning man, a man of integrity. But he doesn't have the power to do everything the way that he should. But I think about Jesus, remember? Jesus says to the disciples, very innocuously, like it's nothing, he says, let us go to the other side. Remember? And they get in the boat. The disciples say, well, Lord, you're a pretty good carpenter, but you're not much of a sailor. You go back there and take a nap. Have you ever done that with God before and his promises? You go ahead and you take a nap. We'll take care of this one. We know what we're doing. We live on the planet. We were raised around the Sea of Galilee. We're fishermen. We're sailors. We know what to do. So the storm comes up, and they're about to sink, and they decide it's a good time to wake Jesus up, you know? Right now in history would be a good time to wake Jesus up. Some of us need to go back there and shake Jesus and say, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stands up. He lifts up his hands. He says, I made a promise to you. I didn't say, let's go to the other side and drown. I didn't say, let's go halfway across and capsize. I said, let us go to the other side safely. He stills the storm, and then he says, oh, you of little faith. Because you see, all you need to be able to say amen is faith. Almighty God says, yes. You and I say to the 8,000 or so promises of God, we say amen. For it says in the scripture, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, what does amen mean? For most of us growing up in church, it means the prayer is over. You can open your eyes. If you're at the dinner table and you say amen after praying over the food, it means you can start eating. When at the end of this gathering we say amen, people will put on their face masks and it's time to go. But amen means a lot more than just a sign that we can start or stop something. Amen is a word of agreement. Amen is the contract that we sign. Amen is what thunder is to lightning. It is the echo of God's voice within us. Amen is more than a spiritual punctuation mark. Did you know it is actually one of the many names of Jesus? Because when it says that God is the yes and the amen, it means that you and I don't get to invent the promises, but we get to agree with them by using the name of Almighty God. The word is found in the next to the last verse of the whole Bible. John has been talking about the coming of the Lord, and he says, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you'll find that he normally said amen first, and then he talked about what he was going to do. Whereas when he taught us to pray, he taught us to say the prayer and then say amen at the end. Why? Because we are signing God's name, not our name, to the document. God is the one who makes the promises. All we have to do is agree. McDonald's decides where they're going to build, and Burger King builds as close to that as possible. Build as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Be the amen to God's yes. When we read the book of John 26 times, Jesus doesn't just say amen once, he says it two times. If something is big, what do we tend to say? It was very, very big. We repeat the word. You know what I'm saying? Very, very cold. Very, very good. When you hear Jesus say in John's gospel 26 times, in the King James it says, verily, verily. In the more modern translations, truly, truly. If you look up the word in the Greek, you'll find what Jesus is saying is, amen, amen. He is saying, I am the Son of God. I am speaking not only the yes, but I am speaking full assurance that you can go to the bank with what I am saying to you. Consider some of the times in the book of John, it's this way. Amen, amen. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You got God's word on it. Amen, amen. The one who believes has eternal life. Chapter 6, verse 47. Amen, amen. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. Amen, amen. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. God speaks that word of amen to his yes. And it says, and then he speaks it through us. Did you notice that? He speaks it not only to us, he speaks it through us. Here's the passage in a nutshell. Here's looking at the promises of God in a nutshell. God says yes, we say amen. God builds McDonald's, we build Burger King. God gives the statement, we give the affirmation. My grandmother used to say these words, and this is really just the outline of this morning. If you can remember this, you got it pretty well. And here's what she used to say to me. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. That's pretty good, isn't it? God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. Can you say that with me? God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. One more time, let's affirm it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. You and I are called upon to be the echo to God's word. An echo is not a new word. You never say something in an auditorium like this that has about a 2-second echo. You don't ever come in here when it's empty and say something and hear another voice come back saying something different. What's the nature of an echo? An echo repeats back to you exactly what you said. And the thing about eternity is we're going to hear echoes through all eternity of the things that we said and the things that we did. I pray that our echo will be, I echoed what Jesus said. I echoed the will of God. I agreed with the Lord. Paul continues, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Jesus Christ. When we echo the promises of God, as we're going to do for the next several weeks, when God says yes and we say amen, we stand on the promises. That's why it's so important to read this word. Did you know it? Don't take somebody else's word for it. Read it. Find the 3,000 to 8,000 promises in here that are yours and go before Almighty God and say, God, you and your word, with all due respect, sir, you said right here, this is what you would do. And I am saying amen to it. Bring it about. Bring it about. And I don't know about you, but if it is God's will, and that's the key, it will come to pass. But it won't necessarily come to pass if we do not say amen. There's a great song, we're not going to sing it, but it's called Standing on the Promises. It's got several verses. Here's a couple of them. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. You know that? Here's the last verse. Standing on the promises, I shall not fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as the all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Somebody has said, many believe that they're standing on the promises when they're just sitting on the premises. We're sitting there, we're taking notes on the sermon, but we're not going to get up and stand on anything. But let me tell you something. We are not McDonald's. God is McDonald's. God is the one who says yes. All you and I do is, like Burger King, say, amen. I want you every time you see a McDonald's, say, God, thank you for your promises. And every time you see a Burger King, say, and I believe them. Amen. And then give Burger King a little business. Drive in there. They're the underdog. So find out what God is up to and join him. That's the word for the COVID crisis. Find out what God is doing and join him. Can we say amen to that? Find out what God has promised and echo that. And all of God's people said, Lord, we thank you for your word. And now as we go to communion, we do so based upon your holy word. We are not worthy, but you have made us worthy through Jesus. And so we're going to take your word on this, and we're going to say amen by partaking, as people have for 2,000 years, in these wonderful reminders that you died on the cross, you rose from the dead, and that you're coming again. And if anyone is here today who's not given their heart and life to Christ, may they, having prayed that little childlike prayer we saw on the screen a little earlier, may they partake of these emblems as well as new believers in our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.